there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Satan launched a D-Day invasion of the United States of America in 2012. When I say D-Day, I mean Demon Day invasion. If you think back to the bizarre way 2012 started, you'll see the makings of a full-scale, military-style, demonic attack on the body of Christ in this nation. Nothing like it has ever happened in the history of this country. 2012 started with witches conducting nationally televised occult rituals to announce the D-Day invasion. I'm referring to the satanic performances of performers such as Nicki Minaj and Madonna on national TV programs in early 2012. There was also the dark, sinister opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympic Games in London. And Nathan Liao did an excellent job decoding the satanic messages that were sent forth through the opening ceremony. Now, 2012 ended with the illegal re-election of America's illegitimate president, foreign agent Barry Satoru, as the highest official in the land, even though placed there illegally, because he is a foreign agent. Barry Satoru embraced and espoused wickedness and rebellion against the one true God of the universe. And the American people's acceptance of him also meant acceptance of his spiritual rebellion against our holy God. Sadly, most Christian leaders in America are clueless about the scope and scale of this Demon Day satanic invasion. For the most part, it's business as usual in most churches and ministries. There hasn't been any clarion calls to days of fasting and prayer to spiritually oppose the invasion. Instead, the lukewarm churches continue to back up and back up and back up, giving Satan more ground in this country. They offer token resistance to the spiritual and political and economic overthrow of the United States of America. On the political level, it appears as though this is a genuine Marxist-communist takeover. They even have a Marxist in the papacy in Rome, with the Pope espousing basically liberation theology. I don't think too many people comprehend the global scale of this revolution that is underway. It is a global takedown. How many nations can you name that are currently led by a God-fearing Christian man or woman who is dedicated to free enterprise as the preferred economic model and dedicated to freedom and liberty as the preferred political model? It will be a short list. A new ism is raising its ugly head in the world. Regardless of whether it is Marxism, communism, socialism, or fascism, the power behind all isms, is always Satan. There's never been a good ism in the history of the world. Few people know about the satanic roots of communism. Vladimir Lenin and the top Soviet communist leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution were Satanists. Communism is the political arm of the Church of Satan. Communism is not about the redistribution of wealth. It is about the abolition of Christianity. Everywhere communism gets a grip on a nation, the first to feel the iron fist of the communists are the Christians who dare to oppose the tyranny. I am aware that there is a solemn call of God upon my life for this particular age. I am not building a ministry. I am not building a religious empire. I am not building a name for myself. Instead, I am humbly fulfilling, to the best of my ability, my destiny, the purpose for which I was born. And that is to sound a clarion call to the saints of God worldwide to stand up, to stand strong, to be mighty in the day of adversity that is coming against the glorious Church of God. My driving goal is to finish my race with dignity before going to the grave to await the resurrection. You and I are not living in normal times. This is an extraordinary time to be alive. And I urge you to get serious with God about fulfilling the purpose of your existence in this life. Nothing else matters in the eternal scheme of things. If you never saw the movie For Greater Glory, I encourage you to watch it soon. It is a well-written and produced movie. It came out several years ago. Among the acting cast is the late Peter O'Toole. It's a movie about history, yet it is a movie about America's future. If you desire to know what will happen under the Obamanistas and their ilk, watch the movie For Greater Glory. It's all there in the movie. It will put into a perspective things that you can understand. If you combine a keen knowledge of history with an understanding of Bible prophecy, you can get a reasonable picture of things to come. Many people, many Christians, when they think of the future and they think of Bible prophecy, for some reason they imagine a time when things get weird, abnormal. And I'm here to tell you that that day will never come. It will be life as usual, except the persecution against the saints will be horrific. But for the unsaved, life will go on. Things don't become weird. They go on as normal. In Nazi Germany, the people went to work every day. They drove past the concentration camps. They turned their head and pretended that they didn't know what was happening in the concentration camps. Life went on. Life will go on here in America as the Obamanistas turn the screws on the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. You need to know history so that you can understand how the future will unfold. Satan uses whatever worked for him in the past. He will use the same strategies and tactics against the church in America as he has used the same strategies against the church in nation after nation over the centuries. The movie, For Greater Glory, is the true story of the Cristero War in Mexico in the early part of the 20th century. Prior to watching the movie, I had never heard of Mexico's Cristero War. I'm positive you can watch it on Amazon Prime and Netflix. Of course, you can buy a DVD, but it's out there on Amazon and Netflix. And if you are subscribers to those two online services, you could watch the movie tonight. You really should, and your whole family should watch it. I don't want to give away too much of the movie if you plan to watch it, but I will give you some historical facts that will help you when you watch the movie to understand what was happening. There was a politician in Mexico, and to our Hispanic listeners, please forgive my poor pronunciation of his name. Plutarco Elias Calles. I know that's a horrific pronunciation, but his name was Plutarco Elias Calles. He was elected president of Mexico in 1924 on a political platform of redistribution of wealth, social justice, free education, and labor rights. Does that sound like anybody you know today? His communist political party eventually became the Institutional Revolutionary Party that ruled Mexico from the 1920s to the year 2000. It remains a potent force today in Mexican politics. So 80 years it ruled Mexico. This is what I'm telling you about the Obamanista regime. If the Lord tarries and he does not come back for quite some time, this Obamanista regime that is in power today could terrorize this nation for 70 to 80 years. This is why you need to know history. There are two important things that you need to know about Plutarco Elias Calles. In addition to being a communist revolutionary, he was also an ardent atheist who exhibited a fanatical hatred of Christianity. And number two, he was a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason. In short, Plutarco Elias was the agent of the Illuminati in Mexico in the 1920s. That's the facts. History is history. You can check it out for yourself if you doubt me. He was a communist. He was an atheist. He was a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason. That's a bad, bad combination. Something ugly is going to happen when one of those rascals gets into political power. Now, keep in mind that at the time of his election in 1924, the Illuminati had successfully pulled off the takeover of Holy Russia just several years earlier, with the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution, led by Satanist Vladimir Lenin and financed by J.D. Rockefeller and the New York Federal Reserve Bank. And yes, there is a paper trail of money transfers from the Rockefellers and the New York Federal Reserve Bank to the communists that took over Russia in 1917. It's a fact. The Illuminati, synagogue of Satan, communist takeover of Russia resulted in the massacre of millions of Russian Orthodox Christians and their pastors, and the destruction or defilement of thousands of Christian churches throughout the land. Holy Russia was thrown into an unholy hell of Illuminati communism. Now, the ruling elite of Mexico, the so-called educated classes, at that time were primarily Freemasons. And I'm sure today the same is true. And the same could be said about America's ruling elite. Most of the super elite in this country are members of secret societies. Whether you're talking about Republican George Bush or Democrat John Kerry, they are all initiates in one or more secret societies or fraternal groups. Their god is Lucifer. They serve the devil. The same was true for Mexico at the turn of the 20th century. And I'm sure it remains true today. Freemasonry was introduced into Mexico in the early 1700s. Like America, numerous Mexican presidents were Masons, including the infamous Santa Anna. When Plutarco Elias and his Freemason atheist communists came to power in the 1924 Mexican elections, it was the commencement of severe persecution of Christianity. And in Mexico, it was namely the Catholic Church. And although the Catholic Church has always officially opposed Freemasonry, the truth is that it has been infiltrated by Masons. The history of it is too complex and convoluted to describe and explain in a short radio program today. But I want to stay on the Mexican Revolution. The bottom line is that Plutarco Elias's revolutionary regime immediately recognized that the churches of Mexico were their main obstacles to a total takeover of Mexico by the Illuminati. And if Plutarco Elias were alive today, he would have been a comrade of Fidel Castro, the late Hugo Chavez, and the very present Barack Obama. As I said, his Freemason Communist Revolution came to power in Mexico in 1924, promising redistribution of wealth, social justice, and labor rights, the identical platform of Barack Obama. Immediately, Plutarco Elias commenced a crackdown on pastors and churches. Same thing is happening in America with Barack Obama and Obamacare and the Obamacare mandates on churches and Christian-owned corporations. He plans to drive them out of business. In Mexico, at the time, Mexico was overwhelmingly Catholic. Therefore, it was the Catholic parish priests who first felt the sting of the Iron Fist. A Catholic priest named Reverend Fahey wrote a book in 1927 titled Secret Societies and the Kingship of Christ. And he meticulously recorded the role of Freemasonry in instigating the communist revolutionary takeover of Mexico. His 1927 book cited original documents from Masonic journals regarding the plots, schemes, and strategies to bring down the churches. First, it is interesting that Reverend Fahey referred to the public's acceptance of the revolution's progressiveness political platform. What do we have today in America? The Democratic Party has been taken over by modern-day progressives. In the Mexico Communist Revolution, they were called progressiveness. Progressive is a polite name for communists. The Obamanistas don't call themselves communists. They referred to themselves as progressives. Communists always change the meaning of words. Whoever controls the meaning and definition of words controls the debate. According to the Catholic priest, Reverend Fahey, in his 1927 book on secret societies, the Freemasons sought to gain control of high-level and influential government positions at all levels of government in South America. It wasn't just Mexico they were targeting. It was all of Latin America. And as the Mexican public gradually accepted the so-called progressive political agenda, more moderate progressive politicians and bureaucrats were gradually replaced with more radical communist revolutionaries, because the public was warming up and accepting the progressive political agenda, which is exactly what is happening here in the USA. I never imagined I would be alive to see the day that millions of Americans would embrace socialism in the United States of America. But it has happened, and it's a political fact. This revolution didn't happen in Mexico alone. The 1906 General Convention of Latin American Freemason Lodges was held in Buenos Aires. The Mason delegates decided that religious persecution had to be carried out throughout South America by every possible means. Among the resolutions endorsed at that Masonic convention in Buenos Aires, 1906, Article 5 said Freemasonry in Latin America would oppose by every possible means church propaganda and the establishment of religious communities. They vowed to ban and to break up and disperse all religious communities. Article 6 said Masons would stir up the zeal of Masonic Lodge members in various political parties for the cause of Masonic ideals. Those Masonic ideals included the separation of church and state, civil marriage and divorce instead of church-based religious marriage, total secular education of children, no religious education allowed in the public schools, the elimination of religious chaplains from hospitals and military installations. Isn't this precisely what is underway in America today by the Obamanistas? I think during Christmas, a Veterans Affairs hospital, VA hospital, rejected thousands of Christmas cards that were signed by church members in a town that were sent to the vets at the hospitals. And the VA said that they could not accept the Christmas cards because they mentioned Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you have a communist in the White House. God is being eliminated in America, right in front of our eyes. And most of the church in America is sleepwalking, zombified, neutered, unwilling to even recognize what's happening, let alone defy it, stand against it, oppose it. They won't even recognize that it's happening. They're in such a state of denial that I don't think there's any hope for most of them. By the way, Barry Satoru, who goes by the alias name Barack Hussein Obama, is a 32nd degree Freemason in the Prince Hall Lodges. Prince Hall, was the first black Freemason in American history. Goes back to the revolutionary days, Revolutionary War days of America. The Prince Hall lodges across America are Freemason lodges for black men, because Freemasonry is racist. It is segregated. And black Masons are not allowed in the white Masonic lodges. So Mr. Obama is a 32nd degree Prince Hall Freemason. And Mr. Obama launched his 2008 presidential campaign by speaking in numerous Prince Hall lodges across America. You can check it out yourself on the internet. Just enter in to Google, Senator Barack Obama, Prince Hall Lodge, campaign. Put those search terms in. You'll see plenty of articles appearing from around the nation in local newspapers about Senator Barack Obama campaigning in the Prince Hall Freemasonic Lodges. Now back to Mexico. In 1924, the atheist, communist, Freemason, Illuminati-controlled and funded Plutarco Elias won the election as president of Mexico. And he immediately declared that the church is the unique cause of all of Mexico's misfortunes. With the help of a Catholic priest who was a secret member of Freemasonry, the new Mexican president declared the federal government of Mexico as the patriarch of the Mexican Catholic Church. And just like Hitler in Nazi Germany, the Mexican president set up a state-controlled patriotic church. Same thing exists today in communist China. The real church in China will be found in the underground churches that refuse to be registered and regulated by the communist government. I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story, what really happened in Mexico in the 1920s, because this is what is happening now in the United States of America, and you need to know where this is going. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is True News.
This is Max McLean. As Christians, where does hope come from? Listen to the Bible from 2 Corinthians 4. It is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. From 2 Corinthians 4, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Well, welcome back to True News. I'm Rick Wiles. I'm just kind of giving you a history lesson today. My movie pick of the week is For Greater Glory. It came out several years ago. It's not brand new. It came out several years ago. It did not get a lot of publicity for obvious reasons, because it came out in the first years of the Obamanista communist revolution, and the mainstream news media, obviously Hollywood, did not want a lot of people going to the theaters to see a historically true movie about what happens to a country when the communists take it over. But I strongly recommend that you watch the movie for Greater Glory. It's available on Netflix and Amazon, and of course you can buy the DVD or rent it. Do they still rent DVDs? I don't know. I don't know if you can still rent a DVD. But they're out there. You can find the movie. It's definitely worth watching. It's something your whole family should watch. It's not blood and guts. It's shocking, but you know, if you have children who are Christians, they know the Lord, they can handle this movie. They ought to see it because they're going to see it in real life. So you might as well prepare them for what is coming, and you could use the movie as a way to talk to your family about persecution. So what I've been talking about is this 1924 communist takeover of Mexico by an atheist, communist, progressive, Freemason, Illuminati politician, Plutarco Elias. He was just the stooge that the Illuminati used in Mexico. They had just succeeded in overthrowing Russia. They were in the process of killing. Literally, over years, they killed millions of Orthodox Christians. Some people estimate perhaps 80 million Russians were slaughtered by the Soviet communists. They had burned down the churches in Russia, had defiled many churches, had imprisoned pastors, sent them to Siberia to labor camps. And so they moved, their next site was Mexico. And so they pulled off this revolution in Mexico in 1924. And this Plutarco Elias campaigned on a platform of redistribution of wealth, social justice, and labor rights. The same platform as Barack Hussein Obama, who is a 32nd degree Freemason in the Prince Hall Lodges, and who likes to refer to himself as a progressive because he won't use the word communist. So I was telling you about this Catholic priest, Mr. Fahey, who had written a book in 1927 about the secret societies and the attack on Christians. And he quoted Masonic journals that were available to him in Latin America. And there had been a convention of Masons in Buenos Aires in 1906, and they passed resolutions that they were going to have to take aggressive actions against churches, against religion, and they were going to aggressively promote separation of church and state, secular, state-controlled education to indoctrinate the children, and so forth. Precisely what we have in the United States of America. That's why we're in this mess. Well, anyhow, as I was telling you before the break, the Mexican Revolutionary Government set up its own patriotic church. They did the same thing that we've seen done in other totalitarian governments like Nazi Germany, where they infiltrated the churches. They set up their own denominations. They basically outlawed legitimate Christianity in any form. The Catholic priest Fahey recorded that in 1926, the Mexican president declared, quote, now this is his quote, "Now there must be a psychological revolution. We must penetrate the minds of the children and the youth because they must belong to the revolution." And I want to tell you right now, Barack Obama has targeted the minds of your children and your grandchildren because he says they belong to his Obamanista revolution. And they will defile the minds of the children of this nation to lead them away from the cross and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the awareness of God and the recognition of morality and the Ten Commandments. They will obliterate all those things in the minds of children because in their view, the children belong to the revolution. And this is precisely what is happening right now in the United States of America. This is what they did in Mexico, 1926. All Christian schools were ordered closed by the government. Public school became mandatory. All Christian symbols were removed from schools. Atheism was taught in the schools. All mention of God and Christianity was purged from society, even in speech. It was illegal to say in public such things as, "if God wills." That was illegal. Doesn't this sound like the thought police persecution that is currently happening in the United States of America under the Obamanistas, where they want to eliminate God? Several weeks ago, during the controversy regarding Phil Roberson of the Duck Dynasty TV program, when he dared to express his views about homosexuality, and the left-wing progressive communists in this country went berserk. I saw and heard on CNN, I don't recall her name, she looked like a witch to me, one very ugly woman on CNN, but she was saying that Phil Roberson had a right to his views in his home, but he did not have the right to express his religious views in public. I heard this witch say it on CNN. She said he had a right to express his religious views in the privacy of his home, but he had no right to express his religious views in public. This is the result of Obamanista communism in America. This is precisely what communists do in every country they take over. They control speech, they control thought, they control actions. And their mortal enemy is Jesus Christ. The symbol that terrifies them the most is the cross. And the people they despise the greatest are those who would give their life for the cause of Christianity, because they know those people are their true enemies in the battle. They could care less about the timid, mealy-mouthed pastors and cowardly, pew-warming Christians sitting in dead churches. They could care less about them. But they do worry about the Christians who would give their life for the cause of Christ. And I assure you, in this country, the Obamanistas know who they are in this country. And they're making plans to deal with us at the appropriate time. That's why you need to know history. That's why I'm taking today's program to talk about what happened in Mexico and to encourage you to watch the movie For Greater Glory. The next phase of the revolution was the confiscation of church buildings. Some churches were defiled by turning them into barns and horse stables. The third phase was the mandatory registration of all pastors. And in order to get a license from the government to be a pastor, the clergy had to swear that they would never convert anybody to their faith. It's kind of like the old ugly witch I saw on CNN. You have a right to your view in private, in your home, but you don't have a right to express your view in public. And this is what the communists told the people of Mexico in the 1920s. It's illegal to convert anybody to your faith, to express your view in public. The Freemason, progressive, communist, atheist, Plutarco Elias, president of Mexico, built a private army. He did not use the Mexican army to carry out his repression. No, he built a private army. Barack Obama promised in 2008 that he would build a civilian force in America that is bigger and better funded than the U.S. military. And he is doing it. And that is why Homeland Security purchased 2 billion rounds of ammo and 2,500 military tanks and an endless amount of military hardware, because he is setting up his enforcers. The Mexican communist president's thugs went from church to church, terrorizing the pastors and the congregations. Much of it is too horrific to even say on the radio. As little girls came out of church buildings, the president's communist thugs would kidnap them and rape them as a warning to the pastor. An example of the cruelty of the Mexican progressives that they carried out against Christians was the execution on May 28, 1926, when the president's thugs in the police force executed an elderly shopkeeper who refused to remove a sign from his little store's window which said, "Viva Cristo Rey," long live Christ the King. And for that crime, he was executed in public. The murder of the old man was the event that finally pushed the people over the line. No longer could they tolerate the injustice and persecution by the progressive government of the communist Freemasons. Approximately 15,000 Mexican Catholics gathered in public, begging God to save them and their nation. And the progressive government ordered the police to open fire with machine guns on the assembled Catholics. Many died. Blood flowed in the streets. The cold-blooded shooting death of the elderly shopkeeper marked the opening shot of the Cristero War. When the progressive government realized that the people would not take any more abuse, then the heavy persecution began. Blood flowed in the streets of Mexico's cities, towns, and villages. Pastors were hanged from the rafters of churches in front of their congregations, and then the soldiers would set fire to the churches and burn them to the ground with the pastor hanging from the rafter, all to teach the people a lesson that the progressive government in power in Mexico City would not tolerate religious freedom, that the churches and the pastors would bow down to the progressive government. Let this be a warning to the people of the United States of America that the progressives are in control of this country now. But they are communists. Progressive is just a cover label. Underneath, they are hardened, atheists, God-hating communists. And they despise you. They despise your Bible. They despise your church. They despise your Savior. They despise your Heavenly Father. The rallying cry of the opposition was that of the old Mexican shopkeeper, "Long live Christ the King." And the shout of "Long live Christ the King" in the streets of Mexico was so terrifying to the government that the government ordered the soldiers to cut out the tongues of anybody caught saying it. The opponents of the progressive government's revolution were called the Cristeros, warriors of Christ the King. And if you said in public, "Long live Christ the King," your tongue was cut out. This vicious progressive government crackdown on the Mexican churches was brutal, ugly, and bloody. Communists always attack Christians, regardless of which branch of Christianity to which they belong. Communists see the cross, and they immediately declare it to be the sign of their opposition. It is their enemy. By 1929, over 90,000 Mexican Catholics were dead from the bloody persecution led by the progressive communist Freemason government. So basically, from 1926, is when the crackdown really started, until 1929, 90,000 Mexicans were killed by the progressive government of Mexico. Now, there's a lot more I could tell you about the Cristero War of the 1920s, including the involvement of the Jesuits, how the Vatican betrayed the Catholic laymen who were fighting the government thugs with machetes and hatchets, how Herbert Hoover secretly sent his Secretary of State to Mexico to negotiate a ceasefire, and how the role of the U.S. oil companies, how they were in bed with the communist government of Mexico and supplied weapons to the government to put down the Christian rebellion. Because that's how the government viewed it. It was a Christian rebellion against government authority. And American oil companies supplied weapons and money to the communists in order to have lucrative oil contracts in Mexico. And if you don't think big business today won't supply money and oil and manpower to the progressive communist government that's in power today to crack down on Christians, you are really ignorant of history. So again, I strongly recommend that you watch the movie For Greater Glory. It will have an effect on you. When I saw it in the theater several years ago, I remember leaning over to Susan during one scene where they were pillaging the churches and hanging the pastors and burning down the buildings. And I whispered to her, "This is what will happen in America under the Obamanista revolution." I'm fully aware that you and I are living in perilous times. American Christians do not think such a thing could happen here, but they are foolishly deceived. Every place communism has taken over, the church was brutally repressed, and pastors are murdered. They're dragged out of their houses at night. They're imprisoned. They're sent to labor camps. They're killed. They disappear, never to be seen again. Churches are burned down. They're closed, taken over by the government, turned into museums, turned into whatever the government wants to do with them, defile them. It becomes dangerous to be recognized as a Christian. Christian speech is banned. Christian thought is banned. Christian images are removed and banned. This is repeated everywhere when communists take over a country. And when you talk to the Christian survivors of the revolution, regardless of what country it happened in, they will always tell you, we didn't think it could happen to us. We didn't see it coming. It just seemed to happen overnight. But looking back, we see that there were signs along the way telling us it's coming, but we didn't think it would happen to us. And so we didn't do anything. We didn't oppose it, and we didn't prepare for it. And then it came. It sprung on us like a leopard out of the darkness and began to devour us, and it overwhelmed us. Well, that's the way it will be here in the USA. The warning signs are everywhere. They're shouting at us that this is a communist revolution that hates the name of Jesus Christ, despises the cross, opposes everything that is good. And at the head of this thing in America is Barack Hussein Obama, but at his head is Lucifer himself. This is an Illuminati government in Washington. And the NSA is Illuminati. They're setting up an electronic concentration camp. This country has been overthrown by a Freemason, Illuminati, communist revolution. God is being banished from the American society. God's laws are being mocked in public. Homosexual marriage is now legal. Christianity is considered a thing of the past, something from the Dark Ages. The children are being indoctrinated in public schools and through the entertainment industry. Each phase of the revolution underway right now will be harsher than the previous phase. This is what's coming in the United States. Churches and pastors will be registered and licensed. The system is already in place. It is called the IRS 501c3 regulation. I was told years ago by one of the most prominent church accountants in this nation that the IRS has two lists. They have a list of all the churches that have signed 501c3 agreements with the government, and they have another list of churches that have not signed them. And this is what this very prominent accountant told me. He said, "Do you want to know what the IRS calls the list of churches that have not signed the 501c3 documents?" And I said, "No, what do they call them?" He said, "They call them constitutional churches." Well, let me tell you, this ministry is a constitutional church. The next thing that will happen will be free speech will be abolished. Pastors in America will be licensed and regulated. They will have a license from the government to preach. In China, every pastor must submit his sermon every week to the Communist Party for approval. All attendance must be reported to the Communist Party. If a new person comes into the church, his or her name must be turned over to the government. Now, the timid cowards in the pulpits across America will acquiesce, and they will go along with the agenda in order to stay in business and pretend to be a pastor. But churches that refuse to alter their doctrine, gay marriage will be the defining issue. Those churches will eventually be shut down. Tax-exempt status will be revoked under the guise of public policy. The federal government will declare the acceptance of homosexuality as official public policy, which it is as of today. Churches that refuse to change their religious doctrine will therefore be in violation of U.S. public policy. And therefore, the IRS will be commanded to withdraw tax-exempt status of any church that is in violation of U.S. public policy. Then they will go after the tax exemption of church property. And step by step, they will begin seizing church real estate. When the churches cannot pay their taxes, Caesar will put liens on the churches and take them over. As in all communist takeovers, church buildings will be seized in the USA, and they will be defiled. And there will be a revolt in the USA, as in Mexico. Sadly, most of the American public will go along with the government, and they will set the stage for their own captivity. There is much hidden in Obamacare. Nancy Pelosi's famous words, you're going to have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill. Well, we are every day finding out what's in the bill, and it's a nightmare. Well, the nightmare has only started. Because there are things hidden in Obamacare that will terrify you. And the immigration bill passed by the Senate is the other piece of this Orwellian nightmare. John Boehner and the mousy little Republicans will pass it this year in five pieces. They won't pass the Senate bill in one piece. They'll break it up into five pieces and then lie to you and tell you that they oppose the Senate bill. They're liars. Every one of them. Every one of those Republican rats that vote for this immigration bill are liars. They're going to lie to you. So you vote for them and put them back in office. But they're going to go along with the Senate bill. And inside that Senate bill are provisions for a national biometric identification system and an e-verify system. We already know where this is going, that your driver's license is going to become the national ID card. They've been trying for years to force the states into the Real ID Act. There's been a lot of opposition, but I think right now, 2017, is the drop-dead date. States are going to have to get on board. So you're going to have to be scanned. Your eyes, your fingers, your face is going to have to be scanned to go into a new driver's license. And you will need that driver's license to access government buildings, to get on a plane, a train, to enter public buildings. It's going to become mandatory to enter anything, to get services, to open up a bank account. The e-verify system means that every single American, I didn't say immigrant, I said every single American, that's you and me, will have to be approved for your job, your current job. You will have to be approved by the Department of Homeland Security to keep the job that you currently have. That's e-verify. And Chuckie Schumer of New York and John McCain and Lindsey Graham are the rats in Washington pushing that bill. With the help of some snakes in churches that I could rattle off their names if I wasn't running out of time. Listen, my assignment here is to bravely proclaim Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. The colonial patriots had a similar slogan, no king but Jesus. Tyranny is here. It isn't coming, it's arrived. And this ministry's assignment from heaven is to prepare the true church for the persecution, to spiritually feed and nourish the saints of God, to stand strong in the face of relentless communist persecution, to carry the cross with courage despite risk to life and property. If you have a stirring in your soul right now that this is the time for the real church to stand up, then I invite you to become my partner in this ministry. Join us. Take a stand. We will carry the cross. God bless. See you on the next program.